This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Welcome to Through the Ringer. I'm your host, Tate Frazier, and joining us here in studio, he is back again, Logan Murdoch. Great to see you, Logan.
Hey,
and
also, hi, Keith. Hey, everybody in the back.
Yeah, he's waving to everybody. And joining us for the first time, we got Jomi on the ones and twos. Jomi, good to see you.
Tate.
Yeah, please.
Do you see this outfit?
I know.
He had no idea when he woke up in this morning that he was going to be on this show, and right. Yet he put that on.
Look, as a full red-blooded American, right. It's my right, to get up in the morning, take my Ford F-150s to the office and put in some hard blue-collar work.
Yeah, some blue-collar takes, and we need some
Is that
takes.
An electric-powered
Don't worry F-150? About it, man. It gets a lot of miles to the gallon. You
know what I'm saying? We know how it goes, but we're sitting here. We're having fun, and Wednesday night, there was a battle for Los Angeles. Logan Murdoch, you were in town to take in the battle. I was there as well. Jomi, you are a notoriously known Lakers fan, so you obviously have some takes on this. First and foremost, what is the battle for L.A. as it currently stands? Like, who's winning the rivalry? Who's winning the war? I'll start with you, Jomi. Like, is it still the Lakers town? Or is it Clippers town? I just wanted to make him laugh from the start.
That's really funny that you would ask that. It has never been a Clippers town. It will never be a Clippers town.
Wow.
This is, as long as it's still called Los Angeles, it'll be a Lakers town, brother.
Mm.
There's no change. The Clippers, from 2012.
I have a question for you, though. Are they LA's town? The Clippers, are they LA's town?
No, they're Inglewood's town. Okay. Moon and Inuit Dome. That's where they got it.
Right.
Los Angeles, its identity is purple and gold.
Okay.
That will never change.
Okay.
And as much as Steve Ballmer would love that to happen, it's never happened.
Question for you really quickly. The All-Star game is in Los Angeles in two seasons.
Yes.
It's technically a Clippers All-Star game.
Okay.
How will it end?
How will the game end?
Will the weekend end? Will it be a Clippers All-Star
weekend
not. Or a Lakers?
I'll tell you what's going to happen. That Sunday night, LeBron is going to throw a lob to Anthony Davis. It's going to shatter the rim. The entire place is just going to go berserk, and they're going to hang the Laker banners back in there. It's going to be nuts.
Mm.
And be like, how is this possible? It's like, don't worry about it. I saw the future. I knew.
Word. And once upon a time, the Lakers obviously owned Inglewood when they were at the Forum. So it's a nice little rope-a-dope there for the Los Angeles Clippers. Let's talk about a rope-a-dope because that game was something different. The Clippers dominated the entire game. Looked like it was over. I was getting ready to leave my seat and leave this game. And then LeBron James hit a three, and then he proceeded to hit another three. And then from there, the rest was history, the trickle-down effect. Logan, you saw it in person. What were your thoughts as you saw the Lakers dominate this fourth quarter?
I mean, for the first three quarters, it was a dud. Yeah. Okay, no one even cared about what was going on. Jay-Z was there. No one cared. Bow Wow was at halftime.
Yeah, nobody cared.
No one cared.
I cared. I stood up and clapped for him.
Like Mike was the movie for me growing up.
And he played for the Clippers.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Well, the LA Knights, in the movie. Right. So, respect Bow Wow.
But when LeBron hit the first three of the fourth quarter, I was like, oh, we got something. We got cooking because for the first time, I realized there were fans in the building.
Mm-hmm. The LeBron fans stood up.
There were LeBron fans and Laker fans.
Yeah.
L.A. fans, even the Clipper fans had jumped ship and just went. And then by the second three, he had the whole building.
Yeah.
And then they went on a 14-something run. And then you just got to – it felt like L.A. in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers think that they have it. They're going down to throw in alley-oops. And in the end, they lose.
Yeah.
It's tough. They lost the city. in a matter of 3 hours. It was tough.
Is really this a reason not to believe in the Clippers? Because I feel like as we talk about the Western Conference, every time you talk about the Nuggets, you know, people will throw in the Warriors. They keep coming back to the Clippers as well as kind of a threat in the West. You say the Clippers are never a threat in the West. Do you think they are this year?
I think that's a little. I think that's just some haterade.
That's a little hater. You know what I'm saying? That's a little agenda getting off. I honestly think this year they do have a shot.
Okay.
With Harden, with Kawhi, Paul George, when they're all healthy, they can be an absolute beast, and they can be anybody on any given night. When Zubac is healthy, they play great defense. I do think they have a shot, especially with OKC and Minnesota, who are like young teams. Mm-hmm. When you have like guys like Kawhi and Paul George, and James Harden has his playoff struggles, but when he's on his best, it's hard to beat him. We saw him those first two quarters, especially that second quarter when he had 12. He was getting to the rim. He was hitting threes. The whole thing. If they can play to their potential, they can absolutely win the West.
But I do think they have the opportunity and could win the West. However, I think there are some flaws in their defensive structure, right? Because you saw that last night against LeBron. They were targeting Daniel Tice. They were targeting James Harden. Mm-hmm. That's what playoff teams are going to do. They're going to put their guards in mismatches against James Harden and try to play him off the floor defensively.
Yeah.
And there's going to come a point where it's going to reach a threshold. And I don't know if the Clippers have – from what I saw last night, that was one of the biggest takeaways that I got, that as good as defensively they are, there are people on that defense that you can target, and there are some great guards in the Western Conference, right? There's Anthony Edwards, there's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, there's LeBron, right, obviously. There's Steph Curry. There's all these different
Jamal
guards.
Jamal Murray, you're not even thinking about Jokic as well.
Yes, exactly. And that's what they're going to have to deal with. Another thing that they're going to have to deal with, and he just made it brought it up, was Denver, right? And and Jokic and what he presents. And that's going to be hard because the Clippers are a bit thin in the front court. Mm-hmm. Similar to how the Suns are, where if Zubac gets in foul trouble, the Nuggets or any team, the Lakers as well, they can go to work within the Clippers front court. And it's going to be really fun.
Are you saying that Daniel Tice is not the guy?
I was going to say Mason Plumlee also in there as well.
The Plum Dog?
Did you see what happened last night?
Did you see
LeBron just say, Kawhi, just get him out of the paint? Like, just move.
Give me him.
This is how bad the Clippers defense was last night. LeBron hit three threes in a row and was completely dog tired, and they still couldn't stop him. Mm-hmm. They still couldn't stop him. That is something, and it was a really disappointing loss. And I think in the locker room afterwards, it was one of those losses where all of your stars leave 5 minutes after the game, right after the press conference, right after Ty Lue gets out and says what he has to say. You see three stars just walking to the bus. Like, it was one of those types of games.
Wow.
It was embarrassment more than anything, right? And it was a bad loss for an otherwise really, really good season. It also illustrates where the Clippers are right now post All-Star break. You talk to them through I've been around them over the last week, and one of the things that Ty Lue was saying was and some of the players were saying is the All-Star break really messed up their rhythm. And I wouldn't say it messed up their chemistry, but it's one of those things where me and Raza were talking about that on the Real Ones podcast, which you can go check out.
Love a promo.
The All-Star break can do one of two things. It can, for a bad team, it can actually stop the bad momentum and you can go hit the floor running for the back half of the season.
The Hornets.
Or it could be something that derails your rhythm and then you have to quickly find it back before we get into the playoffs. And that's something that the Clippers are dealing with, and that's something you should keep an eye on.
Yeah, I like it. I was encouraged, I guess, to see P.J. Tucker on the court last night talking about defense. They're still trying to find something with him out there. And then Russell Westbrook is another guy who had a big dunk highlight moment in this game at the end of the third quarter. It felt like that was the message he was sending. How much can Westbrook help this Clippers team in the playoffs?
I think Westbrook can help. He's actually doing – this is going to make Jomie really mad. He's actually doing all the things that maybe – could have actually helped the Lakers out back in the day. He's coming off the bench. He's only playing 15 to 20 minutes a game. He's getting the proper rebounds. He's also been a very big leader on the floor. They have him in the mid post off to the side, and he's really a good guy that can facilitate in the middle and in the interior offense. And I think that's something that the Clippers are going to need. And they need this version of Russell Westbrook playing well. They need an energy guy. They don't need him to do too much. He was on the bench for most of the last part of that fourth quarter. And he's been like that for much of the season. He does what he needs to do in the spots that he's in. And he's finally taken on that bench role.
Yeah, but like every great player, he has there's an opportunity that he could go off and do the things that he used to do back in like MVP type Russ stuff.
He can win you a game in a series.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Like, there could be one game where there's not a lot of energy. Like, you're like, how are we going to get some offense? And he can generate it all by himself.
Yeah.
And so there's always a chance of that can happen.
And from a leadership standpoint, he's been really good for this team. Because if you think about it, the stars on this team are Kawhi, PG, James Harden. Not very vocal guys, right?
Yeah.
And reserved. Westbrook is one of those guys. Let's pick this Let's do what we have to do. Let's figure this out. And that's been big for the young guys. And that's also a bridge from the older veteran core and to the young guys that are trying to keep this run going. So he's been very valuable for this iteration of the Clippers.
And it's hard to lead from the bench. And kudos to Russ for being able to do that. He has enough respect from those guys, those three leaders, those three stars you said, to be a leader for those guys. So it's good to see. Let's talk about the Clippers rebrand. That did come out. They have a new rebrand. They have leaned into the Clipper, which is a ship, if you didn't know. It's a ship. Apparently Steve Ballmer fell in love with the Clipper ship. You're a Laker fan. When you saw the rebrand, did you think, oh, man, I'm nervous about this. It looks good. Or were you saying, I'm happy this is the rebrand?
Well, I mean, I think I have like a weird take, which, like, for me, the OG number one Clippers hater out there, what's going on? How you doing? The global brand, like the new one with the ship and the Clippers and this, does not look good. That's not great. Everything else,
the jerseys, right?
You pretty like. Solid.
Yeah,
I don't hate it. I think it's a nice, like a throwback to the mid-2000s teams with the red and the script. Those are the Clippers teams I didn't really mind. You know, Lamar Odom, Cuttino Mobley, Elton Brand, those guys. Like, yeah, we ride with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lakers out there doing their thing, Clippers out there doing their thing. I like it. What about you, Logan? What do you think?
I like the rebrand. I don't necessarily like the execution of bringing out the rebrand. And this has been one of the things that I've kind of just observed with the Clippers is that the Clippers are a type of team in an organization where they tell the stars, hey, this is the other Lakers. This is the other LA team. You're not going to, similar to the Brooklyn Nets, right? Where this is the other team in market. The press isn't going to bother you. You guys can like kind of set your own terms with how this organization runs. And as a consequence, you don't see the Kawhi Leonard front facing for this rebrand. Yeah. You see Terrence Mann in the entrance video to the wall, right?
Yeah,
right. Or you don't see Paul George taking that front stand. Or when you do see them, they don't seem enthusiastic for what's going on, right? Yeah. Like, even when they put the shovels in for the new dome, you saw just how bleak all those guys' faces were.
Oh, the picture with the hat, right? They got the hard
hats on. This has been a continuous thing for the Clippers. And if they want to sell themselves, they better get their stars to help sell them, because that's how they're going to differentiate themselves from the Lakers even more. But every time there seems to be a Clippers star, they go there because they don't want everything that comes with being a star. But that's how you grow your game in a city like Los Angeles.
I'm actually glad you brought up the wall, because that it's so fraudulent. Like, if we're being honest, because that's just, like, so I don't know if you guys are big soccer fans, football, as the rest of the world calls it, they have fan groups and they stand behind the goal.
First guy in a NASCAR jacket to talk about football.
Listen,
I like that.
Listen, all types of football, SEC football and Premier League football, baby. I'm all locked in, right?
And football.
Right? But they have, like, fan groups, but they're organized by the fans. For the fans. Yeah. You know, this isn't, the team doesn't go ahead and say, hey, you guys want to come out and sit in the section and go crazy. Those are something that's organic.
Yeah.
Right? You can't manufacture that.
But also,
that.
They want to build an environment like, you know, I'm from Oakland and I grew up in the Black Hole, right? Where it makes it an intimidating presence. And you only have, now, the Black Hole was by force. This is by just choice.
Yeah, but did the Oakland Raiders say, hey, here's the Black Hole? Or was that something the fans created?
That's something the fans created, true.
Exactly.
Wait, hold on. We got how many seconds do we have?
We're a little bit over. One last thing before we go to break quickly. One answer, one take. Who needs the next rebrand in the NBA? We'll start with you, Logan.
The Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, God.
OKC Thunder.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the Washington Wizards. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Warriors and what's happening around the NBA. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer here with Logan and Jomie. And now we got to talk about grades. This is not a classroom here on Through the Ringer, but Sirit, who we love here. Ringer yep. NBA's finest. She put out some grades for every team in the NBA, and she put a grade for the Warriors as a B. I go to my expert on the Warriors here, Logan Murdoch. Logan, is that a fair grade for the Warriors this season, a B?
I think Sirit is correct.
Okay, right. That's good.
I had
good
to
start.
Think on it, though, mm-hmm. because – if you think about the things that have happened with the Warriors this year, I mean, one of their injuries is one thing.
Yes.
But they have one of their players slapping another player on camera, and then we see another version of bodily harm from said player on camera towards another player on camera. Mm. And yet, they're kind of good right now, and they're in the mix. They have games where they're like, are they back? Mm-hmm. Like the time, like when they beat the Jomie's Lakers out of the break.
Now, why would you? Why need that shot? You didn't have to take
I'm
that
just saying. Either. I just yeah. happened to
that
be the timing.
That's a fair point. Yeah,
but they're one of those teams where I kind of equate them maybe to, you know, the 09-10 Suns, right? Mm-hmm. Where they have no championship aspirations, but they're just a fun team. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get them into a six seed, they play against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Could they beat them? Play against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Ooh.
I'm a little dubious that they can do it, but could they? Steph on a switch against Rudy Gobert? I mean, I've seen things happen in the postseason with this team, right? And even now I feel like I'm talking myself into them. But they have had those moments. I do agree with Sirit. I would say a B is good.
Yeah,
I think a B is really good. They're getting Chris Paul back in the lineup at just the right time.
Yeah.
They seem to be getting in. I remember talking to Steve Kerr. I went on the road with them.
Talk to us.
In New York. And I remember talking to him, and he was like, this team is special.
Mm.
And I was like, you tripping, Steve. And he was like, no. I think this team is special. In fact, he doesn't want to leave coaching this team.
Yeah.
He all just signed a 2-year extension.
Contract extension, right?
I think this team has the vibes to just be a fun team that maybe loses in the first or second round. And that's okay at this iteration, right?
Yeah.
The fumes of the dynasty are here, but it's fun nonetheless.
Mm. It's actually interesting you mentioned his extension because it's 2 years, right? And that lines him up with Steph. And so they could potentially decide, hey, man, great run. Let's dip. Both at the same time. Ultimately, we'll see where that goes.
Charlotte, yeah.
Hey, I mean, bring that 30 back?
Yeah, we'll take Kerr and Curry. We'll take them both.
Oh, okay.
A little farewell to him.
You guys would take a prayer. You guys got a lot of stuff you need to figure out before you even think about bringing on more talent.
Jeff Peterson, he's putting in plans.
You know,
I would like everyone to know that was at the bottom of the rundown, that transaction, and he just brought it to the top.
Yeah,
completely out of context. Anyways, I do think that, though, to your point about them all coming together, right? Mm-hmm. I think that is more important to them than another ring. I really do believe that because how many teams do you know that you've been able to see a group of players, not even the Bulls have had that, where you have a group of players that have come through together, most of them were drafted, they don't know any other teams, and they're going to go out in the sunset together with the coach that they had. That's pretty special.
It's pretty special. Clay, though. Clay's going to be a free agent this summer.
Yeah.
I imagine he comes back. But to go back to what they've been doing this season, he's been coming off the bench, lighting it up sometimes. Like, he's been playing better coming off the bench just as a whole. But they have shifted their philosophy. They've become, like, back in, like, with 2015 especially, a defensive juggernaut. Ever since, I want to say, the last couple weeks, they've been, like, second in defensive rating.
Yeah.
In the
a
league.
Lot of that has to do with Draymond Green's return. Draymond, and we talk about his antics and things like that, but he has been a great player this season when he's on the floor. He's shooting, like, 40% from three-point range. He's shooting like Jomie right now.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Right. Let's relax.
But he's shooting great, but he also, every time you talk to a Warriors staffer, they're saying, this guy can complete all of the lineups. And that's also on defensively. He's the one that's talking, throwing out sets, but also he's the one that is the most comfortable playing alongside Steph, right?
Yeah.
Like, he can get him the ball in ways that no one in the history of the game has been able to get him the ball. So he is going to be vital in this playoff run, wherever it leads them. Now, again, I don't think it's going to be a championship, but I think it's just going to be one of those fun games where you're like, oh, they came and brought their lunch pails. A very entertaining six games.
Right.
Logan, I have a question for you, the Warriors expert, the biggest Warriors fan I know, ladies and gentlemen, Logan Murdoch.
That's false.
There's been a lot of discussions about how Steve Kerr's handled the youth for that team. With Pods and Kuminga right now, not only starting, but playing very well, how do you think Kerr has handled them this season?
I think he's done a really, really great job. And, like, I think that specifically with Kuminga. Now, Kuminga is one of the ones that was complaining both publicly and privately about Kerr in the media. He even I talked to him in a piece that I did a couple weeks ago, and he said that it's been a frustrating year. A lot of that has to do with the ebbs and flows of his season or his playing time, excuse me. And a lot of coaches who are in their last year of their contract that seem to be trying to coach their way to a new one would cave under that type of pressure. Mm-hmm. But Steve Kerr just said, yo, man, this is what you need to do to get on the floor. These are the types of shots you need to be taking. Stop shooting threes all the time. Go to the cup. Get rebounds, box out, play some defense, and you will get the minutes that you want. And to Kuminga's credit, he has accepted the challenge, and he has been getting the lion's share of the minutes and is going to continue to get the lion's share of the minutes with Andrew Wiggins out.
Yes.
And he's been playing well. Pods has been playing great, specifically as a rebounding guard.
Oh, dude.
And I have to apologize really quickly to our Ringer brethren, KOC, because KOC asked me about Pods over the summer during summer league. And I'm like, man, ain't nobody thinking about no rookie. And he was like, I think he's good. And I was like, whatever, man. I'm trying to go to the Bellagio. Stop playing with me. And so, sorry, KOC, but Pods has been doing really well. Yes. And it might be too little too late for Kerr to finally embrace the youth movement, but, you know, he's finally doing it. And we'll see where it goes the next 2 years.
What about Wiggins, though? I mean, that's the big factor, because when they won 2 years ago, right, Andrew Wiggins was their second best player, arguably, on that team.
Not arguably, brother. He has never been as good a basketball player than he was that finals run.
Right.
Like, it was incredible. Like, we've done all this talking about the Warriors. We haven't really talked about the guy who makes it all run, Steph. Even looking back at that 2022 run, look, let me just address the camera right here. Okay. I'm a Lakers fan, right? LeBron is my GOAT, right? Let's not mix it up right now. Steph Curry was otherworldly in that run, right? And even today, he's playing incredible. Now, the last couple weeks, shots been off, but he has kept them. He was keeping them afloat before, and when Draymond was out, that whole thing. His offensive skill set is one of the greatest things we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're like, oh, Steph ruined basketball because all the kids want to take shots and nobody wants to. He is just an incredible offensive player to the fact of, like, I don't think even right now we're not appreciating it enough.
I do want to have a point to that. Now, with Steph, it's going to be interesting to see how he plays in this postseason and the postseasons beyond, because I think we need to start looking at Steph in the way that we look at LeBron. And the way that we look at LeBron is a guy that you need to handle with care throughout the regular season in an effort to get the most optimal performance in the postseason. Now, we saw LeBron last year. That I don't know what he's going to do during this postseason, but that might have been one of the last great postseasons he had. And what did it end up with? A four-game sweep. And a lot of that had to do with just the mileage on them. And I think about that with Steph, right? Especially in seasons where he doesn't have the supporting cast that he used to have, right? Have guys that can supplement all the energy that he takes on. Steve Kerr, even in the last few weeks, have talked about how Steph has been tired. Now, that's something to look at as we keep going on, because it's going to take a lot of energy to get to reach the goals that the Warriors want to get to, and Steph is the leading engine on that. But he's also taking the lion's share of the shots still at, what, 35, 36 years old? We're going to have to start looking at Steph in the way that we look at LeBron and saying, okay, we need to get him some help, and also we need to manage his minutes in order to get the most optimal performance when it comes to May, and then what they want is June. But let's get to April and May first. But they need to get him an optimal performance.
It is fascinating. It's like Steph's at four, LeBron's at four, and then you know about the group, you know, Kobe and Duncan at five, then obviously Jordan at six, and they're aware of the history of it, and they're both trying to chase, you know, that group, that upper echelon
of
guys.
They're also trying to chase each other, right?
Right,
because
exactly.
If one of those guys somehow gets five rings, then they win, right? Yeah. Like, they win the generational
their stands,
phase, right?
Their stands are going crazy,
I don't – it would be very interesting if Steph got one more. how we even look at not only Steph, but the legacy of Steph versus LeBron, right?
It's like the Tim Duncan conversation, right?
It's just like Tim and Kobe, right? Like, but it's going to be interesting to see how that, because Steph's a little bit younger. Theoretically, he has a better chance than LeBron of getting a ring just from his age perspective, right? That'll be interesting. I would love to have to be on this show in about 5 years, me and Jomie, if that happens with Steph, and we're talking.
Jomie's not going
to They were trying to team up. Remember, Draymond was making a call, like, hey, you trying to come
What did you do with those rumors? What did you do with those rumors? How did you fan those flames? I didn't see it. I was not on the timeline. You know I'm not on the timeline. What was it like for you? What were you doing?
See, we live in like in a world like, you know, every single comic book universe is talking about the multiverse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that. And like how there are multiple Earths with multiple realities and different things happen in each one.
Are you guys chakras aligned in the
there
the
is there is zero. There is no multiverse, no reality where LeBron's like, yeah, let me go be on Steph's team.
What would you in the ultimate reality? What would you have done if Steph and LeBron teamed up in the Bay Area? What would you have done? Just from a Lakers,
I think Los Angeles,
Los Angeles Bay Area standpoint, if he just said, no, I'm gonna, you know what? I'm just gonna come off the bench. I'm gonna come off the bench and we'll play alongside Steph.
I think at that point, instead of rooting for like the Lakers or the Warriors, I think I just root for the big one. Just put the whole state in the sea.
I think that's a great moment to go to break. We're going to go to break here. We come back, we're going to talk about the OKC Thunder. We'll be right back here at Through the Ringer.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're here with Logan and Jomie, and we're talking team grades. We talked about the Warriors. Siret obviously decided to give them a B. We decided that was a good call. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they are the most beloved team in basketball. It doesn't matter what league you're looking at. Everyone loves the Thunder, and Siret does as well. She gives the Thunder an A+. Jomie, A+ for the OKC Thunder. How do you feel about that?
I feel like that is the absolutely correct grade.
See, everybody loves Siret's the Thunder.
Siret is 2 for 2. Siret's 30 for 30. Have some respect for a legend. Okay? Respect Siret. Shout out Siret. No, OKC Thunder have played incredible ball this year. I've always been a fan of SGA, but he's taken his game to new heights. The addition of Chet.
Doc Rivers saw it coming.
Doc Rivers knows. Mm-hmm. Okay, Doc Rivers. One thing ball. Doc Rivers knows, it's ball. his game has been incredible this year. Chet has been a wonderful addition. Rookie of the year? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he's been playing well. Dort, Jalen Williams, they've all been solid this year. And Mark Dagnall has just been an incredible coach. Logan, how do you feel about OKC?
I feel that they're good. First of all, I have gotten the word that I have cursed too many times, so no more curses. but no, I do love the Oklahoma City Thunder. They have lived up to every expectation of them and more, right? Yeah. And they have an MVP candidate, Coach of the Year candidate, and a Rookie of the Year candidate. They're right on schedule, if not a couple of years before schedule right now, right? Like, so the biggest thing that I want to see them is their playoff. What they're going to do, it's a totally different game in the playoffs. Are they going to live in the moment the way that the Oklahoma City Thunder did a few years back? Remember, that was a gradual rise, right? Yeah. They had the first round series in 2010 against the Lakers. Then they go into the Western Conference in 2011, Western Conference Championship in 2011 against the Mavericks. And then The next year, they go all the way to the finals, right? There is a trajectory that you need to go to. You need to have your playoff moments, and we'll see what happens. But they're just on vibes right now, and they should just stay on vibes because they're years ahead of schedule.
Yeah, light years, some would say.
We got not Jomie. Yeah,
no. We got SGA MVP +210, Chet Rookie of the Year +600, and Mark Dagenaut Coach of the Year -180. Of those three, most likely to happen: SGA MVP, Chet Rookie of the Year, or Coach of the Year for our guy Mark Dag, Coach Dag.
I'm going with Coach Dag, Coach of the Year, because I just think that the MVP right now, I mean, SGA has had a great year, but he has to have a couple more signature games, and he could have that going down the back stretch of the season.
Yeah. He's had him against Steph, right? I mean, that's
Him against Steph, but that was really, really early in the season, right, when they had that homestand. People don't remember that. The top of mind right now is the triple-double, the 32, 16, and 16 from Jokic, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what put him in the conversation at the top of the conversation for MVP. Yeah. SGA has an opportunity over the next couple of months to have those signature games, but we all know that the MVP is a narrative award as much as it is a award of having the best season. And so I think SGA, if he doesn't have those signature games, he's probably going to lose out on MVP. And not only is the MVP award a narrative award, the Rookie of the Year is a narrative award. And Wimby has had the best narrative of any. If he would have, all he had to do was step on the floor and average 18, and he was going to get Rookie of the Year.
Are we giving Chet enough love? I mean, we're talking about Wimby all
that's
the time.
Exactly. And that's why he's going to win Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. It's an award of attention, right? Mm-hmm. And Chet, I'm sure Chet's not going to be tripping if he didn't win Rookie of the Year, but he won a chip this year, right? It's one of those dilemmas. But OKC Thunder are far ahead of schedule, and the fact that we're even talking about these three guys and these different three awards show you how OKC is ascended in the Western Conference and the league at large.
I got to agree. I'm going with Coach Dags as well. I think him and Chris Finch are probably like 1A and 1B in Coach of the Year because Minnesota's playing great ball too. I think they have 47 wins, which is as much wins as they had all of last year. And they got that in at the end of February. So that's incredible for them. But I think, to your point, Jokic is probably the guy for MVP right now. And Wemby, despite all the chatter at the beginning of the year, Wemby is running away with that thing.
Also has a guy that has signature games. He's had a couple signature games.
I mean, he had the 5x5 against the Lakers, and he had just missed the 5x5 the night before.
And we're not even talking about how he went toe-to-toe with Durant in his first month of the season.
Dude. That Suns game was the one.
They win that game, even though Jeremy Sochan is like, I'm not passing you the ball. Like, you got it, my boy. He still finds ways to affect the game, even though the cast around him is not that great. Fellas, when Wemby gets some NBA competent folks, not to say that the guy's playing with them, not NBA competent, but I'm talking like some real, real talent around them, it is going to get spooky really fast.
And this is why Wemby's going to win the Rookie of the Year, because even when we're trying to give Chet his shot,
We're talking about Wemby.
Right. That's the
reason
why.
That's why I almost feel bad for him. Every time.
But that's life, man. Yeah. That's just how it's going to be.
It happens.
Right. It just is what it is.
Well, let's talk about it. So an A-plus for Sirius. Is there anything that could happen with the Thunder? Like, is losing in the first round, like, would that, like, kind of take away from this? Is there anything that could happen in the playoffs where it could leave a bad taste in the mouth in OKC?
I don't think that they can lose in the first round. Okay. I think that they need to win a playoff series, for sure. They need to validate this second and first place finish. They have to. And
I don't know, man, because they're such a young team. It'd be one thing if they were like, it was full of vets who were
so if they dropped to the 3 and lost to the Warriors, or they lost to the Lakers.
Right, that's the question. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, would you post and bail?
I would be like, hey, look, young team, y'all gonna be back. You know, and I know we say that, and ultimately, sometimes that's true, but most of the times it's not. I think this team has a great foundation, a great, great talent, great coaching, that if they continue to go on this trajectory, like you said, they'll be fine. If you meet LeBron, if you meet Steph in the first round, it happens.
They should hope for the Kings or something.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I wonder, like, what is the benefit of the doubt? You know what I mean? Is LeBron or Steph, they're obviously the ones that, you know, if they lose to the Warriors or lose to the Lakers, everyone's like, okay, we get it. You know what I mean? It's fine. You guys can get away with that. But I do think it's all positive about the Thunder, so that is an encouraging sign. Is there anything else, like, that the Thunder could do? Is there any player out there that you're like, I would love to see him in OKC? He fits really well there, that could be a free agent or on another team right now. You know know what I mean? I've seen some people even mention Trae Young as someone that could go there because he's an Oklahoma guy. I don't think about that. But
Trae Young would be very bad for this team.
Yes.
You know who just got a buyout and can hoop right now? Mike Muscala, baby.
Oh, yeah, bring him back.
Try to see, bring back Mike Muscala.
Here's the thing.
OKC, no, just me?
No. Here's the thing with OKC, man. They are a very, very patient group right now. Yeah. And they also learned the lesson of pushing the button too early when they pushed the button for Kendrick Perkins a few years ago, that last run and giving up Jeff Green, right? So they want to make sure that they are being very patient. You could see this team just grow into itself and be like, they got to see what they have first in the playoffs and beyond to see what their deficiencies are. Because right now you're not going to see that during the regular season. That in the postseason, if they do go up against a LeBron or a veteran-led team that can kind of scout them and then they lose in that way, then they can revamp and see what they need. But they don't even know what they need yet because they haven't faced a stiff opposition with this iteration of the group.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the teams that have come out a little flat after the All-Star break and have some fun talking about Wimby. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer here with Logan and Jomi, and we are back from All-Star break, and there are a lot of teams trying to figure out who they are post All-Star break. Logan, I'll start with you. The Mavericks, they have a little bit of a cause for concern coming out of the All-Star break.
You're smiling right now.
I'm not smiling.
Are you worried about the Mavericks?
Are you hating? Worried about the Mavericks?
Yeah, let's start
a little
there.
Bit. I would be worried about the Mavericks. Luke and Kyrie, what can you do?
Yeah.
And Tim Hardaway Jr. looked like prompt Steph when he played against the Lakers, so absolutely. I think they'll be fine. I think the trades they made at the deadline, getting PJ, getting Daniel Gafford,
I love Gafford.
Yeah. Because they have had a problem in the middle for a long, long time. Ever since Lucas got there, they really haven't had a center presence.
And they took a rookie out of Duke, Derek Lively, and said, you help us, but he's still a rookie. So
exactly,
there's a lot of responsibilities.
Right? So they've shored up that spot. They continue to shoot the ball well. I know Max Strus hit that 60-foot game winner. But ultimately, I think the Dallas Mavericks are going to be really good and a really tough outcome playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will. The one concern that I do have for the Dallas Mavericks is they're a big feast or famine team offensively,
yes.
Right? Where if those two guys aren't cooking, you can't rely necessarily on a Tim Hardaway Jr. Night in and night out to get like 35, right, to offset when Kyrie and Luka aren't on. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's because of that, you're going to sometimes see the two-game losing streak that we're seeing that we're making a big segment on this, right? You're going to see that. But the Mavericks are a team with two guys that can get you not only games, but they can get you buckets at really great times in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to see, and that's why they have Kyrie and Luka for the second round when you need two games in a row. They're not a team that really worries about the regular season. As long as they're not in the play-in, they're in good shape because they believe they can win anywhere at any time against anyone.
And it was encouraging that P.J. Washington had what he thought was the game-winning basket in Cleveland before Strus hit that game winner. I mean, he was celebrating, and then it was gone in a flash. But I think the Cavs, good additions there at the trade deadline, so we'd love to see that. Let's talk about tanking and look at the tanking tracker here. Wizards are out tanking the Pistons right now. There's been a lot of conversation about the number one pick. Who is the number one pick? Everyone talks himself into somebody different. If you're the Washington Wizards, who are we tanking for? If anyone out there, like, who would you want to put in Washington and say,
I watch less college basketball than anyone.
Well, now you don't even have to watch college basketball with this draft. I feel like you got to watch the NBL or,
I'll wait for the draft thing to come up. And shout out Caitlin Clark. That's what I'm watching.
Yeah. Well, that's,
the Wizards should draft Caitlin Clark.
That is a great take.
I think that would happen, right? Can we make that happen?
You know what the Wizards should have done?
Need shooters.
Say somebody from the Wizards organization needs to go build a time machine, travel back about 18 months, look at themselves dead in the eye and go, hey, Victor Wembanyama's coming. Like, scrap it all down now.
Right.
Let's not wait a year.
Yeah.
Let's not wait a year. Inexplicably, one of the greatest prospects of all time is coming through and like, oh,
well, here's another
we'll
thing,
tank man. Later.
Here's another thing about that. We always talk about, like, I would have never wanted Wembanyama to be on the DC. I would never want them on the Wizards for under any circumstances based on what they're doing right now.
Well, that's kind of how the Hornets were. I mean, they were like, anyone but the Hornets.
Why are we talking about the Hornets? I'm trying to have a great basketball discussion, yeah. And you keep bringing up the Hornets.
Brandon Miller doesn't move the
over
you.
He does. He's good. Someone pull up the highlights for Logan. Someone pull up the highlights.
Have some respect. Yeah.
Brandon Miller's a great shooter.
Why are we doing anyway? The Wizards. What the Wizards need to do. Is they just need to trust their own course, okay? Because Michael Winger is a really good front office man.
Okay.
They need to just stay the course and do what they're doing because it's literally the only choice that they have left. Yeah. So tanking and being as bad as they are, honestly, it's par for the course because if you look at the beginning of the Wizards season, Michael Winger, their whole goal was to just find wins and things that were not on the basketball court. Now, I know that's probably something that brings laughter from the rest of the league, but if you look at it, that is something that a team in their position should do, trying to build the right habits together, trying to find diamonds in the rough to build a team. That's what the Wizards need to do now. And please don't bring up those Charlotte Hornets again.
Well, they found a diamond in the rough, right? And Brandon Miller, he's right there in front of you.
Michael Jordan's last act.
Last act. Great move by MJ.
The last dance.
Yes. Michael Jordan. And it was good. Can we talk about Wembanyama again? Because I need Logan to get back engaged in the conversation. KOC got us aggregated. He came on the show, and he said Wembanyama's the 15th ranked player in the NBA.
Bring up the pyramid.
Show the pyramid. He said he is the potential defensive greatest of all time, the GOAT, as the kids would say. And, so number 15 there is where KOC has him. Halliburton right in front of him. Anthony Davis there right in front of him. Jomie, do we feel like that's the right range, or are we jumping the gun here?
Oh, it's absolutely the right range. Here's the thing, guys.
I like it. I like that you guys are Team KOC.
Here's the thing. I remember after his first summer league game, the chatter people were saying. They were calling him baguette bull.
Yeah. Right?
They were calling him croissant Chris Mim.
Right.
All right.
Is this people or is this all your burners?
Hey,
we know. Hey, Jomie got burners out there. Don't go get it.
They were calling him Luke Longley. Guys, like it was mad disrespectful.
That was a new one.
I might have slipped one in there myself. But no, it was like the guy has immense talent. And we know this. We've seen him play in France for the Mets 92. Mm-hmm. And for people to come in like in his first game and be like, I don't know, that was kind of ridiculous. And we're seeing it now. The kid can absolutely ball. There's nothing he can't do on the floor offensively and defensively. And he's still basically learning how to walk. It's like a giraffe that was born 4 minutes ago.
True.
And his legs
gangly.
Are like just moving all over the place. But then you look up and he's like, oh, he's got 21 points, 12 rebounds, 6 blocks, 8 assists, and 90 rebounds. Like it's crazy.
It's just a matter right now, honestly, if he's gonna be Wilt Chamberlain or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of gas.
Is he gonna be the guy that just gets Mr. Stats, or is he Mr. Stats with Mr. Rings? Like that's where I'm at. And I said this in the beginning that every time I think of a superlative for him, he just pushes through that ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, on the surface, am I like, is he 15 yet? We messed this up with? This is why I learned my lesson. We messed this up with LeBron because it was a lot of years and early in his career, he should have been regarded as the best player in the game, but we was hating.
Who's we?
You were a Kobe fan.
I was a Kobe fan. You got me.
I'm not going to make that mistake with Wembanyama is all I'm saying. I'd rather just say, I'd just rather put the superlatives out there. But I do know one guy that can beat him.
Okay.
Brandon Miller, right?
Head-to-head. He's a good player.
Summer League head-to-head is crazy.
Yeah. Kai Jones is a tough matchup for him. But
all this talk about the rookies, nobody talking about Scoop? Scoot talk?
A lot of people talked about Scoot. There was a lot of gas for Scoot.
Since Scoot got the rec specs on, though, he's been playing a lot better. So
he's hurt, right? Right now, he's got the core injury.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. He got the glasses and he balled. He balled off for a little bit before that.
But you mentioned Kareem and Wimby. And what did Kareem need early? He needed Oscar Robertson, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, who is the running mate that can go there with Wimby to get him to that next level? Wow. Is it Trae Young?
It's got to be, right?
It's got to be Trae Young.
It's got to be Trae Young.
Well, I mean,
sorry, I'm having fun just throwing out Trae Young.
Well, Jeremy floated the
team.
Theory that Steve Kerr and Steph Curry can have their last act in
San Antonio.
Right?
Take over for Pop.
That's you know
crazy.
What I'm saying? Look, why not? I don't actually believe this. Let's be very clear.
No, but I mean, that would be fun.
That'd be hella fun. Are you kidding me? Look, guys, and I just want you, like, let's use our imagination right here. Let's close our eyes. Let's think about this. A Steph Curry, Victor Wembanyama pick and roll.
Yeah.
It would.
Except Steve Kerr doesn't run pick and roll in the regular season.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
After we've saved
Stephen
Curry.
I think with Steph Curry and Victor Wembanyama, he would run the pick and roll. But like,
the pick and roll with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry.
Well, right. Why are you looking at me like that? That's your boy. That's your man. Steve Curry, you would just say how y'all talk. Y'all was in the back of the bus, johnning it up. Like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? How's the wife? How's the kids?
Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
That's your boy. That's your man.
Right.
Who is Steve Kerr? Who that?
That's your man's. This is Logan Murdoch. He is a Warriors diehard, big fan. Him and so true story. Me and him were hanging out one night, and he got a call from Steph Curry himself. I kid you.
This is a lie and a half.
I kid you
this
not.
Never happened.
Steph called him and he was like, "Yo, I'm having a thing in my house. Can I come through?" And Logan was like, "It's kind of late. I got an early morning thing. I can't come. I can't slide. But you hit me next time, I'll be there." Click. And I was like, "You just told Steph no." He's like, "He always invited me to stuff. I'm not really trying to be there." So that's your boy. That's your team, man. Right. Like it's cool. You ain't gotta hide it from me.
You can plant the idea, you know. Wow. Wembanyama.
Wow. Wembanyama, man. This is you can, wild, you can right? hit up stuff. Yo.
This is wild.
Instead of LeBron, you know what they're trying to do? Wemby.
Wow. Yeah.
You can plant the seed.
Wow.
You could make
the past face of the league to the future face of the league.
So weren't you in you kick it in Brentwood a lot these days, don't you?
I mean, you know.
Don't you kick it a lot?
Hey man, you know.
So can't you instead of instead of just kikiing and doing all these things and making LeBron go to the Warriors as you've been doing behind the scenes as Clutch Jome,
yeah.
Why don't you make the Wembanyama LeBron happen?
So here's the thing
in San Antonio.
And I want to be like very transparent with you guys.
Okay.
So me and LeBron, I want to say like a falling out. But the Westbrook thing was tough in our relationship.
Wow.
Because I was like, LeBron, the answer is no. Don't do this. And LeBron was like, well, you ball handling, he brings energy. And I was like, Bron, don't do it.
Is that why
like,
you don't have your normal customary courtside seats at Crypto last night? Is that why I didn't see you?
That's exactly why you didn't see me.
Wiz Khalifa wearing your courtside seats.
Respect to Wiz, you know, me and Bron are cool. But at the end of the day, like, when it comes to like team matters, we don't really see eye to
eye. You used to have the Adele seats.
I used to have the Adele seats, brother. It's tough. That was all of us, man. Wow. It's all right, though.
Wow.
We move.
Well, there you go. LeBron, Victor Wembanyama, Popovich, San Antonio, a match made in heaven. We're going to take a quick break. We didn't get to my Hornets, unfortunately, but it's okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to do some Friday night NBA picks. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Through the Ringer here with Logan and Jomie. We got NBA Friday night. We're going to do some rapid fire here on the Friday night games. First up, we got the Dallas Mavericks taking on the Boston Celtics. Dallas plus 9.5 in this game. Logan, I'll start with you. What do you like here? Do you like the over?
I like the over. I have odds that Luka is going to be the next Larry Bird.
Oh, there you go. It's going to happen in Boston. Yeah.
It's going to happen in Boston.
That is the moment, right? I don't know what the odds are, but I like that. There's going to be
the
a
odds
declaration.
That I have.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't even know what odds are, but I have odds on that.
Yeah,
I will take the Dallas money line because there's no universe where I will root for the Celtics.
It's
not happening. And I will also take the Luka over because, again, in the spirit of being in Boston with Larry Bird Spectre hanging over, he's going to go crazy.
I have odds that Jaylen Brown's chakras will be aligned.
Oh, he's going to have a big game. I think he's going to have a big game. There you go. So there you have it. Mavericks taking on the Celtics. Mavericks trying to get back on track. We talked about how they'd struggle after the All-Star break, so this could be a big game for them. A statement game, some may say. Next one, we got the Trailblazers taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. No line yet for this game.
There shouldn't be. Both teams stink.
But, yeah, these are bottom feeders. But we have some fun storylines, some fun players. Who do you like in this one, Jim?
I like GG Jackson over on the threes.
Okay.
I know, like, hey, Jomie, are you sure? I am.
That's what everyone's saying.
Put your mortgage on it. It's right. happening.
Right.
I have like odds that. Big odds that I'm going to go to Cheryl's on 12th and next time I'm in Portland. That's all I care about when I think about this game.
Right. What do we
maybe
like?
Central Barbecue if I'm in Memphis. I'm going to do anything but watch this game.
You guys remember that Memphis was a 2-seed last year?
Yes.
And, I mean, I don't know what happened to him in the playoffs. Somebody could remind me.
Verno should be point guard right now. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it's gotten.
Right. I think Verno get you, like, what, 6 assists mm-hmm. on a night? You know, a little dump off.
I think he could get you some energy plays,
but you
too.
Need to
maybe
keep him on one side
here.
Of the floor in you, one yeah, spot you of the can, floor. Yeah, I don't think he's running to half court.
Whoa, respect Verno, man. He can move. He can shuffle the feet, you know, bend them knees.
Yeah.
Keep stay in front of somebody. Yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Logan, where can we find all your amazing work?
And, you can find me on X or whatever you call it at Logan M. Murdoch.
You don't even tweet no more. You're not even there no more.
You can find me on Instagram where I'm being a thotty. And you can catch me on Threads.
And the Real Ones podcast.
And the Real Ones podcast. Real Damn, ones. I didn't even promote myself.
I know,
I did it earlier in the show.
I got you.
And I didn't even do it again.
Joe me
shout out to Raja. Shower to, you know what? I deserve a bleep. Howard. Bex, go!
Joe me, where can we find your work? And then we'll get out of here.
You know, you can find me everywhere on X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
Are you being a thotty on Instagram?
I am being a thotty on Instagram, brother. Find me at Jimmy Dinneron. If you want some of the real stuff, though, you can follow me. You can follow the Ringiverse on everywhere. Listen,
Sexy Red calls him the original Hoochie Daddy.
No, follow me on Ringiverse. Follow on the Spotify, spotted on the Twitter, on the TikTok, on Instagram. Hey, hey, real talk though. We're close to 25K on the IG.
Yay.
Follow the Ringiverse, y'all. Right. Hey,
pew, pew.
Yeah,
that's
we
right.
Love it.
Pew, motherfucking pew, baby. Yeah,
love to see it. Appreciate everyone tuning in through the Ringer, and we will see you back on Tuesday. We'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford, or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.